אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
שלום, אוסטרליה. Last Sunday at 11 a.m, millions joined the call for 100 minutes of awareness for the 100 days the 132 hostages have been held in Gaza. Gatherings took the form of silent vigils, protests, marches, creating art installations, or Torah learning. Hundreds of shops, restaurants, and cafes came to a standstill, observing the 100-minute labor strike in solidarity with the families. At the largest rally in Tel Aviv, mothers spoke about their children and appealed to the humanity of their captors, saying that they still hold hope that they will listen to the true message of Islam and show respect for human life and for family. Released hostage Agam Goldstein Almog, 18, whose father and older sister were killed in Kibbutz Kfar Aza on October 7th, as she and her mother and two younger brothers were taken hostage, spoke directly to the young female hostages she and her family met while in captivity and told them to hold on. Mirav Sversky, whose parents were murdered on October 7th in Kibbutz Be'eri and whose brother Itai was taken hostage, said, "We have everything and nothing helps. We need this nightmare to have a good end. My parents won't come back, but I want to have hope." Yael Adar, mother of Tamir, who was taken hostage from kibbutz near Oz and then killed in Gaza, called on the government to wake up. Qatar announced on Tuesday that it had successfully, with France's help, mediated an agreement between Israel and Hamas to deliver medications to Israeli hostages being held in Hamas by Hamas. This is the first agreement since a week-long ceasefire in November. Hamas and other terror groups are still holding around half of the estimated 250 hostages they captured on October 7th. Hamas said it will not release the remaining hostages for anything less than a permanent ceasefire in Gaza, which Israel has rejected outright. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and Secretary of State Antony Blinken continued efforts to negotiate their release during separate meetings with Qatar's Prime Minister on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum in Davos, where families of hostages also had meetings. In announcing the medications deal, senior Hamas official Musa Abu Mazouk said that for each box of medicine provided to the hostages, 1,000 boxes would be sent for use by Palestinian civilians. He said the International Committee of the Red Cross would deliver all medicines, including those destined for the hostages, to hospitals serving all parts of Gaza. The agreement also included the delivery of additional food and humanitarian aid to Gaza. Prime Minister Netanyahu negotiated the deal, and the IDF said that the first the army knew about it was when Musa Abu Mazouk tweeted about it. A storm erupted in Israel when Abu Mazouk said that the shipment could enter the strip through Egypt without first being examined by Israel. This would have been the first shipment to enter the strip without first being inspected by Israel since the start of the war, amid fears Hamas would try to smuggle in weapons. The Prime Minister denied that he'd given the go-ahead to exempt the shipment from security checks. He ordered the IDF to check the equipment, and arrangements were hastily made so that the five trucks carrying the medicines would undergo a security check at the Kerem Shalom crossing before entering Gaza. Included in the package were supposed to be the prescription medicines, including blood pressure medication for the elderly men being held and medication for at least one young hostage with serious medical issues, supplements for the baby and the young child of the Vivas family, and antidepressants, which medical personnel here insisted needed to be included. Israel and the families of the hostages in particular have no way of knowing if the medications have or will actually reach the hostages. Qatar confirmed that the medicine and aid entered the Gaza Strip and added that mediation is continuing at the political and humanitarian levels. Hezbollah has increased its activity in the north. Last Sunday, Barak Ayalon was killed and his mother badly injured when a rocket hit their home in Kfar Yuval. Opposition MK Lieberman said that the government is derelict in allowing Hezbollah to determine the pace and intensity of the battle in the north instead of acting preemptively and decisively. Last night, warnings were given to municipal leaders in the north that there may be losses of electricity due to the increased military activity after the war from the north has intensified. Israel has told the US that it prefers a diplomatic solution to the conflicts in the north and will wait until the end of January to see if negotiations can end the hostilities. On Monday, Edna Bluestein, aged 79, was murdered and 17 people were injured, including 7 children and teenagers, in a car ramming and stabbing attack by 2 Palestinian terrorists in Ra'anana that occurred as schools ended for the day. A 16-year-old boy underwent surgery for serious spine and head injuries. The perpetrators were Ahmed Zidad, 25, and Mahmoud Zidad, 44, residents of the town of Bani Naim near Hebron. Both had been blacklisted for entering Israel illegally numerous times in the past. During the rampage, they seized 3 vehicles, the first from the car wash where one of them was illegally employed, and rammed pedestrians in several locations in the city, and then went on a stabbing spree. The attack came as the government was debating the wisdom of allowing Palestinian workers to enter Israel for work, which has been prohibited since October 7th, in order to alleviate the economic difficulties faced by the society. Former Justice Minister Gideon Saar, a minister without portfolio in the current emergency coalition, rejected the idea, saying letting workers from the territory of an enemy population into Israel during a war is a terrible mistake that will cost blood. Saar also ruled out a permanent ceasefire as part of a deal for the release of hostages held in Gaza. He has joined the camp of Defence Minister Gallant, who believes there's no alternative but military pressure. Last night, families of the hostages held a major protest outside Prime Minister Netanyahu's Caesarea home, demanding that the hostages be returned before they can only be returned in coffins. The numbers who are claiming that the military offensive is not providing a solution are growing. On Thursday, War Cabinet Minister Gadi Eisenkot, who has lost his son and his nephew fighting in Gaza, suggested in an interview that talks of a complete victory over Hamas is unrealistic and implied that it was unlikely to lead to the safe return of the hostages. He also contradicted the Prime Minister by saying that elections should be held before the end of the war if necessary. Last night, there were protests in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv and Haifa demanding immediate elections. Yesterday, on Shabbat, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office released a statement saying that Israel must remain in full security control of the Gaza Strip to ensure that Gaza will no longer pose a threat to Israel, and this conflicts with demands for Palestinian sovereignty. He was responding to comments by American President Biden that Netanyahu has not ruled out a two-state solution after the war. Last night, IDF spokesman Daniel Hagari described the latest gruesome find by soldiers in Gaza of an underground prison where there is clear evidence that hostages, including children, have been held. Kfir Bibas, the youngest hostage to be taken hostage when Hamas attacked Israel, turned 1 in captivity on Thursday. Hamas released a video clip on October 7th showing Kfir and his 4-year-old brother Ariel being abducted from kibbutz near Oz along with their mother Shiri, whose terror was visible. Their father Yarden Bibas was also abducted. In addition to the protest in Caesarea, tens of thousands gathered in Tel Aviv last night to support the families of those still being held by Hamas. And Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong's visit did not make the news here. This is Peter Jones-Pellach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.